urgent news today on Seculo as ACLJ is dispatching lawyers to Colorado.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo, folks. We are taking your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Taking urgent action, our attorneys were contacted by a pro-life pregnancy center organization who had members that were invited to testify before a city council executive committee meeting in Pueblo, Colorado. This is brought by a Dr. Carhart, that infamous abortionist, don't even like using the word doctor when referring to him, who performs the latest of late-term abortions in Colorado. He's picking Colorado because Colorado has no gestational limits on abortions at all, and it includes that very broad health exception. Well, this city council was going to hear from, they're looking at their own ordinance, and they were going to hear from both proponents of Dr. Carhart and those who are opposing providing the zoning necessary to build this medical, what they call medical facility, because these abortions are so late term and so dangerous. And we had these pro-life pregnancy center individuals, two who are going to fly in.
Witnesses, actually.
Who are local, invited by the council to come speak. And then yesterday, the day before the meeting, which is at 5:30 p.m. today, Mountain Time in Colorado, yesterday they're informed, we don't want to have you come speak.
One of our lawyers happened to be in Texas, which is not far away, and flew up in the air as we speak. She's been dispatched to go to the city council meeting and read the affidavits of what these witnesses would have testified to if, in fact, they were allowed to speak as originally planned. Now, they haven't been. So what you've got is a situation where city council is having a meeting. Carhart is coming in to try to get a first reading. There's been a first reading of a piece of local legislation that would have limited this abortion clinic from performing these kind of activities, which is certainly legal under, in light of Dobbs, the overturning of Roe. That passes the first reading. He's coming in now before his team, before the second reading, to try to get it stopped so it doesn't pass. The city council was going to have both sides heard, both sides present witnesses, and then they canceled it. They canceled one side only, though. Classic viewpoint discrimination, where they're saying, we're going to let any side speak except the pro-life side. And Jordan talked about that. We talked about this yesterday. This is the abortion distortion that the Supreme Court now has counseled against. It's saying it's distorted all of these areas of law, including this. So this is why you got to fight. And we've dispatched a lawyer literally this morning.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that what's very important here is how the ACLJ is able to use these resources now that we're back in this post-COVID world, where, again, for years, these were all done by remote. These were not done by dispatching lawyers and making sure people could be there in person. I will tell you, there's a big difference when you're there in person with an attorney representing you. And two of those witnesses who were told not to come will be there. So we are, again, this is all happening within less than 24 hours. Late last night. Because you get the call out of Mountain Time, hey, all of our witnesses just got canceled. But all the pro-abortion witnesses are going to move forward at the 5:30 p.m. City Council Executive Committee meeting. So we are going to be there because this is the classic case, Dad, of abortion distortion.
Oh, it sure is.
Somehow, you know, we'll let the pro-abortion witnesses speak, but let's cancel those pro-lifers.
Yeah, because they're not going to do anything. Surprise, surprise.
This came out of pro-life pregnancy centers.
Yeah. ACLJ lawyers dispatched because the pro-life center said, hey, we need help.
Yep.
And we've got lawyers there today. Your support of the ACLJ makes all the difference. Jordan's going to let you know how to support
the
Magic
Challenge. It's the only way we can do this kind of work is because of your support of the ACLJ, where you can have an attorney in one place, finishing one assignment, and then moving right on to the next assignment without returning back to the office and just staying on the road, continuing the work. This is old school ACLJ, but we're back at it because we're in that world where things are back in person again, and it's a reminder of that. And resources, it costs a lot more to be there than it is to Zoom in, but it's also a lot more effective. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today. Be part of our matching challenge at ACLJ.org and give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. All right, welcome back to Seculo. So just to set the stage for you, if you're just joining us, Pueblo City Council is holding an executive committee meeting tonight. It is a meeting about whether or not they want to provide the zoning to an abortion clinic by Leroy Carhart, who is a late-term abortionist. Yeah. Colorado has no gestational limits on abortion.
Nope.
So they were going to have this special hearing. They invited pro-abortion activists and leaders to testify as witnesses, and they invited pro-life pregnancy center, actually mostly coming from pro-life pregnancy centers, to put forward witnesses as well. And then late last night, remember the hearing is today, late last night, those pro-life witnesses got a contact and said, you're no longer needed, we're canceling your appearance. They did not cancel the appearance of the pro-abortion speakers. Classic viewpoint discrimination,
yeah.
Classic abortion distortion. And we've got an attorney who is already in that part of the country, who is now on the way to Pueblo, Texas, Pueblo, Colorado, to make sure that they were going to be that our clients will be represented there. Two are local. Two are going to fly in. I mean, that's how serious this was.
They call them presenters, which are witnesses. Yeah. They were going to testify. You're going to have the abortion proponents testify, and then those that were opposed to this. Let's be clear on what we're talking about here. The particular ordinance that was passed the first reading, but in Colorado that doesn't mean a whole lot, it's more of a procedural thing, was to limit abortion providers, abortionists, from engaging in basically late-term abortions because of medications that would have to be shipped in for this. It passed the first reading. That's when Carhart's team, if you want to call it that, CC, got together and this hearing takes place because it now goes to a second reading, and then the mayor can still veto it. So we're in favor of the ordinance. The problem is they're not going to hear from our side of the debate tonight when this is debated.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's another perfect example, as Jordan said, of abortion distortion. Here you have a regulation that is a pro-life regulation trying to regulate abortion, the practice of abortion, killing babies. And in the middle of the night last night, I mean, it was yesterday evening, after they had already invited the pro-life side to have their time to speak, they cancel them. But they don't cancel the pro-abortion speakers. So, I mean, it's very apparent that the abortion distortion is alive and well, and we see it even in city council votes and members and hearings.
But you hear about the Supreme Court stuff, and everybody gets that. But you know what? Sometimes it's a city council hearing. And what we're trying to establish for you today is we activated on this last night. We have three lawyers working on this right. Well, this morning we had about six lawyers working on it. Now three of us are on this broadcast right now. Three are working on the case in substance. One is on the way, is in the air right now to Colorado. And the plan is that Olivia, one of our team, we'll make a presentation and read the affidavits of what these witnesses were going to say. So at least we've made a record as we determine what the next course of action is. But understand what happened here. This all took place in the last 12 hours. And that's how fast our team was able to mobilize. And Jordan, it's exactly what you said. The idea that you're going to hear one side of the debate is outrageous, first of all, number one. Number two, to cancel them the day before, people were coming from out of town for this.
That's right. I mean, so they were trying to, again, catch them off guard so that they wouldn't have time to rectify the situation. But this is when old school ACLJ kicks into gear. And I say that because during these COVID years, and you may have come to the ACLJ during those COVID years and not have heard about these kind of stories. This is the normal operating practice for the ACLJ. Something like this happens, we find where is the closest attorney to this, and we redeploy them there. If they finished their job in the other place, if we had to send somebody from even further out, we would. To make sure that when we get contacted by a client, and in this case, a pro-life pregnancy centers that oversees a lot of pro-life pregnancy centers around across the country, and they know the ACLJ is the best place to go, so they contact us. How can you help us? We'll get an attorney out there. We'll start researching the statutes all within less than 24 hours so that when those two witnesses who are local show up tonight, they've got an attorney, and I think we've gotten word that our attorney at least will be able to make a comment tonight. I mean, these kind of
with the city council. Yeah. I mean, literally, as we're broadcasting to you live, We're negotiating with the city council. This is real time. This is real. I'm waiting for updates as we're here.
Absolutely. Like you said, it started yesterday evening, and we have worked on it through the evening and now into the morning, and getting someone to fly from Texas to Colorado to be there for that meeting to make sure that, you know, we point out. And I don't even know how the city council can justify. I know it's an executive committee meeting, but how can you justify if you're hearing about a regulation, you know, an ordinance that they want to pass, why would you only want to hear from one side? You would want to hear from both sides, even just to know what the situation is with this, you know, what the potential problems are, what the potential benefits are. You would want to hear both sides. So the fact that, again, they only canceled the pro-life voice, it's very telling that there is bias already at this city council.
Well, here's what you've got. The DAC is stacked against the pro-life view, because what they're doing is they've got witnesses are testifying, a member of the state legislature who you know is going to, is pro-abortion, so does not like the regulation or the resolution that the ordinance that the city's trying to pass. The city attorney is opposed to the ordinance that the city council wants to pass. And the mayor at least is indicating to others that he may veto this if it passes. So then you have Carhartt come in, and what this is to do is to scare the pro-life votes on the city council, thinking if this happens, this is going to be a disaster. Look at the manpower, and I use that generically. Look at the number of people coming in on their side of the debate.
Right, because they're only hearing one side of the debate, and that was strategically planned because they had other people coming in to share the pro-life side of the debate, and they were literally canceled. Not less than 24 hours. I think it was late last night, and the hearing, I think, starts at 5:30 tonight. So, you know, they were canceled last night, although they had planned to fly, some of them even flying in to testify, and it's all been shut down. The pro-life message has been shut down.
Yeah, I'm looking for updates as well to see. Jordan, you're on your phone right now looking to see if we have them. Do we have anything new?
No, I haven't seen anything new. I'm just looking through email, trying to see updates like that, refreshing, see if we got, let's check the text.
This is happening in real time.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had multiple conference calls this morning.
Yeah, just making sure we're not missing anything every few minutes for you as we're reporting this. And, of course, we'll update you on it tomorrow. Maybe get a blog up later today at aclj.org because, again, it's happening on Mountain Time. But this it's just a great reminder of how the resources that you provide us are utilized and the reason why we've got to have resources ready to go, not just – to plan things out months in advance, but to be ready to, you know, in the bank, ready to go so that we can utilize them at a moment's notice, Dan. I mean, that's why you can't just say, oh, we'll plan to do this case and that case. We never know what's coming.
Nope.
That's part of our work, and we want to be able to help these clients without costing them a dime, and we're able to do that. All of this, the nimbleness, the representing the clients, making sure their voice is heard, because of your financial support of the ACLJ.
Yeah, and our attorney just touched down in Colorado. We did get that notification.
There we go. Yeah.
I mean, so there we go. So we've already got our attorney on the ground in Colorado. So they will be with our clients there soon, working this out with the city council.
Yeah, because what's going to happen
and these
here,
city councils, when they get attention like this,
they don't like it.
Things change.
Well, that's the thing. The idea here is you get in there and you say, you know what, you're not going to let our witnesses speak? Well, our lawyers
didn't
speak.
But they didn't think a national radio broadcast would be talking about this.
They didn't think we'd be talking about it. They didn't think we would dispatch lawyers to be there to handle it. But that's exactly what
they
we did.
They try to do things. And you had a lot of experience with this when you were Planned Parenthood as well, is that they would try to do multiple cases and say so that you could not get to the...
Personally. I mean, they would try to tie you up in New York while you couldn't get to Texas.
And so you would use private aviation,
I'll tell you what happened. This was way back in the day. Pat Robertson, CBN, the 700 Club, said, they have Operation Blessing, they had aircraft. They said, we'll just put you on a plane and fly you from New York to Texas. And bingo, we did it.
Yeah.
They were stunned when we walked in that court. That was a long time ago. But it's the same thing today. They're going to be stunned that our lawyers are showing up tonight in Pueblo, Colorado to stand for life.
Absolutely, folks. We want to take your calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. It's a great example too, when the overturning of Roe versus Wade just opened the door to so many new fights for life on so many different angles. Whether it's a late term abortionist trying to move into a place like Colorado and a city council questioning whether that's something they want to approve. Of course, you've got the ballot initiatives, state legislation, potential tries at federal legislation. I don't think that's going to work now with the Republican House. But what we see is this: you have to be ready to fight these battles every way. So we have ACLJ, we have ACLJ action, so that we can fight these battles exactly how they need to be fought. And listen, we are up against a behemoth when you're talking about Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. They are $1 billion a year business. They have hundreds of millions of dollars to throw at all of this. And so what we have to do is work that much harder, double down that much more, and make sure we can utilize every moment we can, like this moment in Colorado, to get our voices heard.
And that's why your support of the ACLJ's Critical Warning Matching Challenge campaign. I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, if it's $10, we get another $10 match. If it's $20, it's $40. $50 is $100. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Welcome back to Secchio. We are taking more of your calls to politics as well. 1-800-684-31. Tim, we're going to get into what happened last night in Georgia later on the broadcast, but we wanted to update you on that breaking ACLJ news out of Colorado. If anything happens during the show today, we'll make sure to update you, and I know we'll have more updates for you later today, maybe through ACLJ.org. Check our social media, and certainly tomorrow on the Secchio broadcast. Now, one issue we wanted to point to was our friend, you know, Jim Baker over at the FBI. He was the general counsel there.
For Jim Comey, of all people.
For Jim Comey. He got fired and left when he was accused of leaking out information. He was remember, he was in the meeting for the insurance policy. He was a part of the whole Russia hoax. He actually had the dossier delivered to him by the Clinton campaign. So this is that guy. Now, when he went to Twitter, he became the deputy legal counsel.
That would be the number two in the legal department.
Yeah.
That's the number one
has already been let go.
Fired him.
So Elon Musk figured out, well, let me read it to you, because Matt Taibbi, who was the first journalist to do
and
the
we
first.
We pointed this out yesterday, that we did not know if he was still employed, and we went through that whole thing the other day on the broadcast.
It happened yesterday. So I think it was because of conservative activists pointing out to Elon that he's got someone like this there. So on Friday, the first installment of the Twitter files was published, and they expected to publish more over the weekend. And people said, well, what happened with the delay? Well, surprise, surprise. They can now tell us that one of the reasons why was on Tuesday, the now former Twitter deputy general counsel and former FBI general counsel, Jim Baker, was fired on Tuesday. Among the reasons, he was vetting the first batch of Twitter files without knowledge of Elon Musk and the new management team. So he was still inside trying to block. He probably knew his time was short there, but he was still inside trying to block the second release of Twitter files.
So now I'll become an MSNBC contributor.
Yeah, probably. The process for producing the Twitter files involved delivery to two journalists, Barry Weiss and Matt Taibbi, and via a lawyer close to new management. However, after the initial batch, things became complicated. Over the weekend, we both dealt with obstacles to new searches. And it was Barry Weiss who discovered that the person in charge of releasing the files was someone named Jim. When she called to ask Jim's last name, the answer came back, Jim Baker. Barry Weiss said, my jaw hit the floor, and that the first batch of files both reporters received was marked Spectra Baker emails. Not exactly sure what that means. But again, this is the 2016 dossier. This is the Alpha Server guy. He is now gone. So they have promised that the next installment of the Twitter files will appear soon, because they had to get rid of this block. So it's just interesting to show you these bad actors, whether in government or the corporate world.
Or they go to the private world.
They continue to protect the bigger interest of the politics and politicians that they serve.
Here's the best part. I'm going to put up on the screen right now, and I'll describe it for our radio audience. Up on the screen right now is, during our FOIA request, an email message from guess who? James Comey to James Baker. Office of the General Counsel is what OGC says. It's deleted. You know, they redact. But that tells you who the player is.
Andrew McCabe's on there.
Oh, yeah, Andy McCabe. So here's the thing. It took our FOIA, we find out the link between that aspect of it while he was at the FBI. Then we find out that he went over to Twitter, and then we started asking the question last week, what is Jim Baker doing at Twitter if now he's in charge? You know what he was doing? Trying to block the information that the new head of Twitter, Elon Musk, was trying to get out.
You've got to
give Elon Musk a lot of credit to immediately took action.
Yeah, because he's trying to restore faith in Twitter so that more users either return or new people sign up to utilize the thing. You know, I actually used it for the first time last night. I was talking to Ralph Reed in Georgia, who I used to work for, used to be the chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, about the vote. We actually had a public, so people could see it, exchange question and answer. I wouldn't have done that without if Elon was in control, because I wasn't that active, and the hate that would have been there would have overwhelmed any of just the normal conversation. But it was a cool way to show how we can again once utilize Twitter to communicate in a way where I wanted people to see Ralph's response. I didn't want to just, I could have emailed Ralph or texted him, but I wanted to see his response so that other people could see that it was really turnout based. We knew that was going to be turnout based. We're going to talk about that in Georgia. And the turnout just wasn't there.
I want to keep this up. The date of the email of this email between these two, Jordan, is the night before President Trump's inauguration in 2017. The day before. And this was response to our FOIA about the FBI putting people inside the White House.
The spies.
Which James Baker obviously knew fully about.
And Jim Comey bragged about.
And Jim Comey bragged about it because he thought they had a moment where basically the then White House counsel, which had been Don McGahn, was not, they were not fully up to speed, according to Jim Comey. So we got somebody in there. He laughed about this, by the way.
Yeah, which, by the way, if you would have called that office, they would have been ready to go and said no.
Of course. But they snuck people in and
utilized staff that was not normal government in those positions, and then took advantage of them, and that's how this all started.
Yeah, but again, if we didn't go to that FOIA, we wouldn't have gotten that chain of events. So again, for a radio audience, it's an email, and sometimes it's just the people who are on it are the most interesting part. And here it is. It's James B. Comey, James Baker, and Andy McCabe, and there you have it. And I think that tells you the link. And then, of course, he ends up at Twitter. Pre-Elon Musk, obviously.
Yeah, of course. So they were building up this whole liberal apparatus there that he is now taking apart. But he's having to find out, like, who is this Jim? You know, and I appreciate that from those folks. Like, who is this Jim guy who's the deputy general counsel? Oh, yeah, it happens to be Jim Baker from the FBI who's, you know, left the FBI and was let go from the FBI for leaking to the press of matters of investigations. I want to go to Rich's call. This goes back to the Colorado, but I think it's important that we take it.
Colorado, we dispatched lawyers, city council meeting on an abortion issue, will not let the pro-life side speak. Let's go ahead.
After they were invited.
After they were told to come. They were invited. And
they were disinvited last night.
The night before the hearing.
Yeah. Rich in New York, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Yes, sirs. I enjoy the program very much. Yeah, I've been in politics and government for 45 years on and off in New York State, and I've never heard the term executive committee of a legislative body, and I'm wondering what authority they actually have, and maybe some other states they have something that we don't, but how can they bind the entire council?
So city councils under the municipal laws of Colorado are allowed to pass the way which they operate and do business, and the way their city council operates, they can have what are called, in this particular case, it's called a individual requiring special accommodations. This is the ordinance that they're talking about. Executive committee meetings are special meetings of the city council, and they're informal to council, and they are allowed under their Colorado ordinances on how they operate their meetings. But they invited both sides of this debate.
Kind of like a hearing.
Yeah, like a hearing.
It's like you don't have to have everybody there, so it's more like we'll have some of the city council members there for this hearing to get the facts.
Right. Here, the night before they cancel our people. And we've dispatched, because like Jordan said, now they're having these hearings. So our lawyer, the plan is for her to be able to speak tonight, read those affidavits into the record, and we're building the record to see what the next course of action will be here. But that is taking place right now as we speak.
Yeah. Let me go back to the phones. If you want to talk to us on air, we'll talk. Right. We're running out of time right now. We'll get to these calls in a minute because we got Rick Rennell coming up too. The second half hour, we can talk more politics. So, Jerry, hang on. If you've got questions about last night, what went wrong in Georgia, the politics moving forward, how things changed. It was interesting news that Joe Manchin didn't get his pipeline.
No, he did not.
So he now has a much less important role. It's still close, but not nearly as important.
Unless he switches to Republican, ties it back up.
Options, maybe he may be upset enough over the pipeline. But Republicans showed him, don't trust the Democrats. They voted it down, too,
yeah,
with the liberals. Very interesting move. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Donate today. Be part of our matching challenge.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo, second half hour of the broadcast. Rick Grinnell will be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. We're getting into some politics and also this bizarre move in Germany. And he was the former ambassador to Germany. All these arrests have been made in Germany that there was supposedly a coup attempt there on their government. So I want to get his reaction.
What does that
to,
mean in Germany? I mean, you think of coups, you think of the overthrow of a government.
Yes. I mean, that's what they're using.
But they're a democratic republic.
Yes. So who was it? Why? You know, is it legit or is this just like the party there trying to gain control by scaring the public?
They said it was a, quote, far-right extremist coup.
Yeah. Whatever that means. So we'll go to Rick on that as well. I want to take Jerry's call out of Illinois because we're talking a lot of politics too with Rick after now we are almost done with the election season. There's still some recounts going to determine how the House will exactly break down, but we know how the Senate is going to break down now. Yep. 51 Democrats, 49 Republicans. Hey, Jerry, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
The reason why election results don't match the worst ever, I'm a half century plus citizen, the worst ever polls is because we have in play now, and nobody passed it in Congress, an 80s Russia mailbox fraud scheme voting system, votes without voters.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going with that, Jerry. They've limited the drop boxes in places like Georgia to...
There's no evidence of any voter irregularity in Georgia.
No.
Zero.
In fact, they were criticized for being too strict.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, exactly. And even after Warnock won, he said there was still voter suppression.
Yes.
So, no. This is Herschel Walker lost.
By more votes than he did in the
Which
the
tells
midterm.
You that chaos does not work.
People didn't show up. Republicans were the reason why he lost.
We heard this on the broadcast yesterday. We had a couple people from Georgia. We took the call.
Who said it was hard to even vote for him.
Yeah, they said, and they're Republicans and conservatives, and they found it hard to vote for him. So to say that it was not that. We'll take more about that coming up. I want to reiterate, though, what's going on in Colorado right now. We've dispatched, she's actually, Olivia's one of our lawyers, she's landed in Colorado and is going to go to Pueblo, which is where this hearing is going to be, this what they call informal executive committee meeting. There's supposed to be both sides of the issue presented, the pro-life side, the pro-abortion side. And of course, last night, they canceled the pro-life side the night before the hearing. One of the witnesses for the crisis pregnancy resource center was flying in. Jordan said, this is kind of old school ACLJ. I did a lot of these hearings. We dispatched a lawyer last night who was in Texas, and we dispatched her to Colorado, and she's going to be at that hearing. And it's going to make the record as to what's going on here because our witnesses were invited and then disinvited, which is classic viewpoint discrimination. But listen, we told you these abortion fights are going to get right down to the city council level, and that's where this one is. But again, the ACLJ is there. Our team is there. We had, at one point today, this morning, we had six lawyers working on this. There are three working on it right now as we're broadcasting. So it's serious, but we're on top of it.
Yeah, and again, we're able to do all of that because of your financial support of the ACLJ. All these different topics that we handle in just one broadcast. And then sometimes go back and look at a week and look at all the different topics we handle in 1 week. At the ACLJ, the experts that we bring in, like Rick Grinnell for you, kind of this post-mortem on this election cycle, is coming up as an ACLJ team member because of you. Support the work of the ACLJ. Be part of our matching challenge at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. You'll see matching challenge right on the homepage. So if you're financially able to right now, gas prices have gone down a little bit, so maybe that helps a little bit for you. And remember, your $20 donation, that triggers a $20 matching donation from one of our donors who agreed to be a matcher. So it's like $40 for the ACLJ, but all you have to donate is $20. So it's a great time to support our work. We're going to have more on Colorado later today. We're going to have more on Colorado tomorrow. And we're going to get all this information out to you. And we're checking our phones as we speak to see if even more information comes out while we're on the air today. It's how the ACLJ operates at a moment's notice, 24/7, And it's a kind of an example of we're back to it out of these COVID years. Support our work, ACLJ.org. Secchio, we're going to talk politics with him. We're going to talk some world events with him as well. Rick Rendell, our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, is joining us. Rick, I wanted to go to this first story that I don't know if a lot of Americans saw. It's in some of the media, but these arrests that are being made across Germany and two in other countries as well, blaming this far-right group for attempting a military coup of the German government. You're the former ambassador there. Is there anything you could share with our audience about what's going on in Germany?
Well, look, I think that this story is developing and we're going to be finding out a lot more over the next couple of days and weeks, but it's very suspicious. They arrested roughly 25 people and said that they were trying to do a coup in Germany, much like the January 6th style coup. There's a couple of, you know, issues with this. First of all, it's only 25 people. They were collecting arms and ammunition. So if they've done something illegal, they should be prosecuted. But to somehow jump and say that they were forming a government to undermine the current government and it's a January 6th style coup, and then you've got the German government embedding reporters for the raid, and the raid basically live because videographers are there to film every angle and to see this arrest, and then to see the crazy people that were arrested, it's all just suspicious and packaged too much for me. So yeah. I'm going to be watching it very closely.
Do you think, Rick, it's like they saw what happened on January 6th, some of these governments, they said, you know, we should utilize our power in a way to, maybe we don't have that kind of scale issue, but we could start utilizing our power still in a democratic kind of republic system to put down dissenters and to scare the public, even if these were, like you said, if they were crazy, if they were violating laws, but there's 25 people are not going to be successful in a coup against the German state. But they can use that to, again, scare the populace.
Yeah, look, I think there's no question that governments around the world saw the January 6th committee hearings of Congress. Congressional investigators, where every single person on the committee agreed, there were no dissenting voices. That's very scary. But then when governments want to somehow exercise power, they can go through these exercises to scare the public and to say that there is this huge problem, and they pretend like a problem is bigger than what it is in order to have a bigger reaction from the government, right? The justifiable control of dissent. And that's what's really scary to me, especially in a place like Germany. But the good news is that I'm hearing from all sorts of everyday Germans who are saying, wait a minute, this is just like the January 6th debacle.
I don't know if we reached that. I mean, Rick, it looks like to me, it's like they got 25 people that were whatever they were doing. But I don't want people thinking that the German government just falls because of 25 people. They're trying to pitch this thing as like a military coup, but there doesn't seem to be any military involvement.
No, and the guy who actually they arrested, you know, some prince, is, you know, seems crazy to me. But I don't think it's illegal to be crazy, is it?
Not yet.
Yeah, right. Not yet.
Talking about crazy, let's talk about the situation with Twitter and James Baker. Because James Baker, we know, of course, on our end, I know from my previous work in the Russia investigation with Bob Mueller, but in some FOIA litigation we had, we got these series of emails, and on that group is James Comey to Jim Baker and Andrew McCabe. And so we get this information in our Freedom of Information Act, and it was about this, you know, planting basically FBI spies inside the White House. Lo and behold, Jim Baker leaves the administration, leaves the Department of Justice because he was being criminally investigated for leaking information to the media. He ends up at Twitter. This is pre-Elon. Ends up at Twitter as the deputy general counsel, the number two. We find out that a couple of days ago, and then we find out that, you know, Elon's going to start releasing the series of information on these and how stories were suppressed. The person editing all this is, lo and behold, Jim. And they said, the staff said, who's Jim? And then finally someone said, oh, it's Jim Baker. Jim Baker, the former general counsel for the FBI. You cannot make this stuff up. And he tried to block it. Elon fired him yesterday. Your reaction?
Yeah, look, if you're an ACLJ loyalist and listener, the name Jim Baker is not foreign to you because of all the great work that ACLJ has done to out this guy when he was the FBI director. He was intimately involved in censoring information that made the FBI look bad. We all know his work in the past on the Steele dossier to really protect FBI, even when he knew they made mistakes. Fast forward to Elon, and I guess we have to say kudos to Elon for trying to come forward, but he seems like he's trusting too many people. Matt Taibbi, who was the first journalist to release this information, didn't really catch it, that the information didn't include a lot of the Hunter Biden laptop information. But Barry Weiss is very good, a conservative-leaning journalist, and she is the next one to get some of these files. And when she started to get these files, she's the one who started asking questions, wait a minute, who is this Jim guy? And she's the one who discovered that it was Jim Baker, and immediately she said her jaw dropped, because now Twitter has the same problem as the FBI when it comes to the Steele dossier and taking away information that makes the entity, whether it's the FBI or Twitter, look bad.
Yeah, so I think what Elon Musk is trying to do is clean house as best he can to get people back to Twitter. I actually was using it for the first time in kind of a normal way last night during the election in Georgia, texting, using Twitter publicly so that people could see the messages of people I talked to there about that are on the ground about how things were looking. And the turnout, were they going to be the numbers that we were looking for? At some point in the day, it looked like they might be, and then, ended up not being the numbers. What's your general takeaway, Rick, from Georgia? I mean, Herschel was down in the polls, was 50,000 down in the midterm, lost by about 100,000 this time, and it seems like that's a lot of Republicans who just would not go vote.
Look, I've almost given up on trying to figure out what's happening in Georgia. Republicans really are having a hard time there. We're having a hard time with our consulting class, trying to come up with strategies that work. I think we've got a crisis when it comes to how conservatives and how Republicans look at elections. You know, we have an electorate that is very fearful of big entities, big government. They want their personal freedom. And so is it hard to organize conservatives? They don't like polling. They don't like to listen to people on the phone. They won't answer their door and participate like a big group. And I think the left does. They have just a fundamental agreement to organize in groups. And so we've got to think about those challenges and come up with something else. It might not be ballot harvesting, but it's certainly going to be technology related.
One of the things we said, Rick, is we've got to start utilizing the state laws, because the states determine what their election policies are. And if the state allows early voting, for instance, let's not give the other side the entire early vote, because what happens is too many things can happen on election day. We had calls yesterday. A nice guy called in Georgia. It was already midday. Have you voted yet? No, I'm going to in the next couple hours. Now, I don't know if he voted or not. I'm assuming he did. But the truth is, there's just too many things can happen. So Jordan coined this, and I think it's right. We're starting the night when they start counting, and the other team's on our 20-yard line. That's how you start. And we never catch up. That's the problem. Where if you do catch up, you barely catch up.
It's a great analogy, and it makes us all concerned. You know, we've got to balance the fact with we're concerned about the U.S. mail and taking our ballots and all of that. But we've got to look at every single law in every state and treat every state differently and figure out how to get our people to vote over a period of whether it's 4 days, a week, 3 weeks, sometimes it's even longer. But that would allow us more time and more operational strategy to get to these people. Because as you say, you know, something comes up, you get in a car accident on your way there and you're not voting. And these elections are coming down. It's so close. I said it before, and I'll say it again, 511 votes for the attorney general's race in Arizona. We're still trying to find votes. It's not quite over. But those are the types of races we have that are so close. I got to believe that 511 people in Arizona had problems voting because the tabulators and the ink printers
were having trouble in Maricopa.
Yep. Yeah, they couldn't necessarily go back that day, but if they would have early voted.
If they would have early voted, you wouldn't have had that problem. This is where, folks, Rick is right, Jordan is right, this is what has to happen. We've got to do a massive education project on early voting and what the laws are in all 50 states. We just need to, that's what we do at the ACLJ, we just need to get out there and start educating people. We can't buy into, like Rick said, oh, I don't trust the mail. Because generally, your mail, your ballot's going to get there.
By the way, that's what we're talking about.
But you couldn't get it printed in Maricopa County.
Most early voting we're talking about is not absentee. It's going to the same kind of polling place using the exact same machine.
Yeah, so
and again,
go.
Someone said, those votes are worth a one.
Yeah.
And same-day votes are worth 0.9 because of the 10% chance that that person doesn't show up because of, like Rick said, some incident occurs in their
all
life.
Right, Rick, we appreciate it. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Matching challenge campaign. Georgia, we're going to talk to you next. We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to analyze the Herschel Walker race and what happened. 800-684-3110.
Update you on this too. ACLJ Action, we're working with the Colorado Catholic Conference, TPUSA, SBA List, and others on getting some folks to show up tonight.
There you go. So, okay, we need to update everybody on what we're talking about if you're just joining the broadcast late. So, last night, there was going to be a hearing in Pueblo, Colorado on.
You should be respectful.
An ordinance, people. Of course. Respectful. And on an ordinance that was pro life in nature that passed the first reading. Dr. Carhart, I hate using the term doctor to the abortionist, late-term abortions, wants to open up in Pueblo, Colorado. So his team doesn't like that legislation, that ordinance. So there's another reading that has to take place, and then even the mayor can still veto it even if it passes. And the concern was, and the concern is, that our witnesses were lined up to testify, the presentation was ready, and guess what? Last night they cancel it. So the folks, the Pregnancy Resource Center contacted the ACLJ. We put a team of lawyers on this last night and this today. And we have a lawyer that's already on the ground in Pueblo, Colorado, and demanding that our clients either have the right to be heard or our lawyer is going to read into the record the affidavit of what these witnesses would have testified to, so at least we make a record. Now, that's on the ACLJ legal front. Then ACLJ Action, our C4, they went to work.
That's right. So our ACLJ Action now is working with SBA List, Catholic organization, another Catholic organization as well. They've got large networks out there to get some of their supporters out to the meeting tonight.
Makes a huge difference in these city council. Be respectful, but a huge difference in these city council meetings.
I love the fact you're seeing in real time how the different apparatuses of the ACLJ are coming together, utilizing the resources you provide us at the ACLJ. And we couldn't do all of that. We wouldn't even have ACLJ Action without your resources there as well. So very cool. And that's why we're checking our phones constantly.
Yeah.
Because that came in from the guy who runs our ACLJ Action, James Rockus, who just said, by the way, we found out about this. We're activating the grassroots side of
this. It's perfect. I mean, this just shows you the scope and nature of the ACLJ. What happened in Georgia?
What happened in Georgia was that even more Republicans decided not to turn out and vote for Herschel Walker. The votes were there. There were enough votes for Herschel Walker to win if people showed up. Less showed up. The margin was worse this time for Herschel Walker. He lost by nearly 100,000 votes. In the midterm, it was about 48,000 votes.
Yeah. So we had calls yesterday that came into the broadcast.
I think it was much worse in Georgia about him than we saw outside of Georgia.
Okay, go ahead.
So while we might have seen a news flash for 5 minutes about one of these women who came out, folks were being inundated with this. They didn't like his Texas comment.
Yeah, well,
that
Texas
was late in the campaign where he said, I'm a lifelong Texan.
Yeah. And he's campaigning in Georgia.
For U.S. Senate. So, listen, here's the trouble. Warnock is now going to get 6 years.
Yeah, he's in.
I've run a campaign. I've worked on a campaign where we beat an incumbent senator. Very difficult.
Unbelievably hard.
And so that was a real chance to get rid of Warnock after a year. That chance was blown. Many different reasons why. I don't think the resources were there for Herschel. I don't think he was necessarily the best candidate. I think there were other people that could have, but I don't know that they could have gotten through the primary. I think what we need to do is a wake-up call, and I'm seeing this a lot in the chats, actually, and say, you know what? We need to pick candidates that can win. And again, that doesn't mean giving up your your views, your ideologies, because most of them are going to share your top line ideologies.
Right.
Low taxes, pro-life, pro-business, pro-American energy independence, support most of your foreign policy positions as well. They support Israel and things like that. So if you know that, pick the best messenger. Pick the most qualified messenger. That's how we're going. That's how you win races. People that can connect. And you would have thought Herschel would have been able to connect because of his kind of his football stardom in Georgia. But I think there was an over calculation that yeah. stardom was as important to so many new people in Georgia. I mean, that goes back to even you
yep.
as a kid moving to Georgia from New York. It's not necessarily you've been a loyal Georgia Bulldogs fan your whole life. No. You like them, but it's like
yeah.
you don't vote for somebody because of that.
Here's what somebody from Georgia said. It's exactly what you said. And this is a comment that came in on Rumble. I'm reading it right now. And it says, the ads against Herschel were effective and ran 24/7 for months. Most of the time using Herschel's own words.
Right.
So
it wasn't some voiceover that you can easily say.
Chaos that's just, candidates are not working.
Well, just his statements were all over the place. The Texas stuff, people in Georgia don't like that. No one likes that. They want their senators to be from their state, at least have lived there for a period of time, or at least tell the story about why they're back in the state. Why did you right. move from Texas to Georgia? Not that you were just recruited as a candidate. So I think it's some soul searching, but it better be done quickly because we're back at it in a couple of years.
Yeah. So when is,
I mean, primaries start in less than 2 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Republican Party needs to be looking at their entire apparatus. Do you not agree?
Yes. Early voting, candidate selection, resources. How are we going to compete?
Get out the vote.
With campaigns that can do what that comment said. 24/7 ads. Republicans don't have that money.
This is the situation. Now, the unfortunate thing is we lose a seat in the Senate on the committees. So the committees right. now are 11-9 instead of 10-10.
So hyperpartisan.
Hyperpartisan. Good news is, right now, we still have the House.
So most things will be stopped.
Yeah, so most things are going to be stopped. But you mentioned the thing about Joe Manchin.
Yeah.
So his little pipeline thing didn't happen.
Remember, Joe Manchin said he voted for the Inflation Reduction Act primarily because of a promise for a new pipeline for West Virginia. Now, we all said, well, that will never be built. Why do we say that? Because the progressive liberals. So the Democrats tried to reward him, tried to sneak it into the new National Defense Authorization Act. Well, that didn't work because the liberals in the House were going to oppose it, so it couldn't pass the House. And then Republicans, like Lindsey Graham said, if Joe Manchin thinks we're going to reward him for voting for the Inflation Reduction Act,
no way.
So Republicans voted no on it. So it showed Joe Manchin, you cut deals with the devil types, and you think that
what's going to happen to Joe Manchin now? He was the most powerful member of the Senate. He's not now.
I think he looks like a big loser today. He just failed his state miserably. That would have been very important to people in West Virginia. That's a lot of new jobs. And he put his trust in Chuck Schumer and a bunch of radical liberals, and he got burned.
Does he do anything differently?
He's only got 2 years left. So
is he going to run again?
Don't know.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be they took him down, the Democrats too, a notch.
I'll tell you something. All right, folks.
They don't want to build that pipeline, the left. And no, the Republicans didn't want to reward him.
I don't blame him.
I would have done the same thing.
But I do want to end the broadcast where we started, and that is ACLJ has dispatched lawyers to Colorado. They are on the ground because witnesses that were pro-life were testifying today at 5:30 this afternoon Mountain Time on this ordinance that the city had passed on the first reading, which was a pro-life legislation. Carhart, late-term abortionist, comes in with his team. And what happens last night? They cancel the pro-life witnesses from testifying. Our lawyers on the ground were objecting to it, obviously, on multiple levels. And at the same time, it's an open public hearing. ACLJ Action has gone into work to get that going on their end. We're going to have people show up. We want everybody to be respectful. But this is what democracy means. This is a constitutional republic. So we fight back, and we're doing that. That's where you come in. Because as Jordan said, none of this, not this broadcast, not these lawyers in Colorado, not ACLJ Action, none of this happens without you. We're in a matching challenge campaign in the most important month of our year, December. I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org and support the work of the ACLJ. Your gift will be matched. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So if you donate $20, we get another $20. That's effectively $40 for us. So it's big.
Yeah, I know. I do want to shout out to that caller from outside of Hartwell, Georgia. He called back here just to let us know.
He voted?
He did vote yesterday.
Yeah, all right. Tell him I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you tomorrow on Secular.